the usual thinking about how to help an addict heal has to do with giving up control. It's right there in step one of the classic 12-step program. Admit you are powerless over your addiction. There's an apartment building in Seattle where addicts are trying something different. They are getting more control over their lives. And they're getting results. KPLU's Jennifer Wing went there to hear some of their stories.
Alan Surratt is a bearded, balding man of average height with a large middle. He wears a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. He's an alcoholic, and he's drunk. His life began to unravel decades ago. Things got really bad when his third marriage ended.
I left my wife for another woman. That's the official reason. The primary reason I left her for my original love, which was alcohol.
Surratt doesn't have hangovers anymore.
I have withdrawals. I feel them. It hurts.
Surratt is one of the 74 people who live at 1811 East Lake in Seattle. It's tucked into the concrete armpit of I-5 and the Denny Overpass. To get a place here, you have to be homeless, and you must be addicted to alcohol. Most chronic alcoholics are middle-aged men, and the population at 1811 reflects that. Surratt is 55 years old, and he's a binge drinker.
It's like, right now as we're talking, I'm in the midst of a binge. It's kind of like the snake in the box thing. You have to just open up that damn box to see if the snake's still there.
These folks, for the most part, are never going to get sober. What are we going to do with them?
That's Bill Hobson. He's the head of DESC, the nonprofit that oversees 1811 East Lake.
If you are over 45 years of age, if you have a minimum of 15 years of street alcohol addiction history under your belt, and you have six or more failed attempts at conventional treatment, you have less than a 4% chance of getting sober for the remainder of your life.
Think about that. The odds are heavily stacked against someone like Alan Surratt.
Do we want to continue to see them oscillate endlessly through jails and emergency departments, eating up public revenue resources? Or should we be thinking about something different?
If removing alcohol isn't realistic, Hobson thought the thing that could be fixed was housing. Remove the chaos of homelessness from the equation. Where will I sleep? Where's the next meal coming from? Who's going to steal my stuff? What would happen if that stress and uncertainty was gotten rid of and this population was allowed to drink as much as it wanted?
There was a 30% reduction in alcohol consumption.
30%? That's a lot. Alcoholics on the street, when they're homeless, they buy their beverage of choice and they drink it immediately. They know their friends will want to share it with them or a police officer will confiscate it and make them pour it out. But once you live in a housing project,
you can put your bottle or your beer on the shelf or the beer in the fridge and consume at your leisure. We're convinced that that actually was the principal reason for the reduction.
Now, just to be clear, alcohol still has a tight grip on people like Surratt, but researchers at the University of Washington say the residents at 1811 East Lake have gone from having 20 drinks a day to about 12. And for Surratt and others who need extra help, 1811 has something called an alcohol management program. A certain number of drinks, usually six, are handed out on a schedule at the front desk.
And I like just having that six a day.
This prevents residents from wandering the streets in search of beer and liquor. It keeps them out of trouble. Studies out of the University of Washington showed that when this population makes fewer visits to jails and emergency rooms, it ends up saving Seattle and King County more than $4 million a year. For a handful of residents, having a stable, safe home that didn't ask them to kick their habit didn't just result in them tapering off. Jolted them awake. They made the decision on their own to get completely sober. Roger Field is one of these people. A switch flipped inside him once he had his own apartment with a door he could lock. A few years ago, he was a mess.
But I drank my way out of the Air Force in 4 months.
Field had a wife, stepkids, a house, a car, a decent job. He lost everything because of his drinking. He lived on the streets in Seattle for years, making lots of trips to Harborview's emergency room. When he got into 1811, he doesn't remember anything about what his first few months here were like. And then,
in March of 2010, I had my last drink. And the epiphany was, it wasn't working anymore. It wasn't doing what I wanted to do, so there's no point in doing it. And it takes a long time to do that, believe me. The alcohol will tell you something different.
Field is still sober. He's one of only about a dozen people who have ever been able to do this since 1811 opened back in 2005. It's rare. He is one of the 4%. Field is welcome to stay at 1811 for as long as he wants. He has counselors and social workers available 24 hours a day to support him. He has a job cold calling people and asking for donations for the nonprofit Sight Connections for the Blind. His mind is busy. He wants to make up for lost time, and he'd like to earn more money.
I wouldn't mind just a bookkeeping job or a library job.
Field is learning how to manage his emotions.
I found out that it actually feels better to smile. It feels better to not fly off the handle, because I actually get a good feeling when I don't. It's like success.
He makes it a point to tell me that he owns a TV, a computer, and an iPod. He doesn't want to come across as bragging. The presence of these devices in his personal space is a reminder he's still choosing to be sober. Back when he blindly wandered Seattle's streets, he would have sold everything to buy the next drink. By watching people like Field and other residents who have cut back on the bottle, Noah Fay is learning a lot about how positive change happens.
We need to let our clients' own motivations be what drives outcomes, and it's our job to help kind of steer in the right direction.
Fay is the program's project manager, the lead social worker. Based on what he's seen at 1811, forcing people to quit drinking just doesn't work.
And no one likes to be told what to do.
He says lasting change only sticks when it's completely self-motivated.
Being told what to do puts people on the defensive and doesn't get at the root underlying motivation that really drives change. People can get better, but you have to allow them the room to do it themselves.
Alan Surratt, who we met earlier, who's going through a binge, has tried to get sober many times without much success. But even when he stumbles around intoxicated, just knowing that sobriety is an option is a comfort to him.
I like the idea that when I wake up in the morning, there's a good chance I'm going to spend the day sober. I like that opportunity is there for me.
Surratt says as bad as he might be, he'd be a lot worse if not for this place.
Hell, for all I know, the reason I'm alive is because of this place.
For now, Surratt has no plans to quit drinking. Jennifer Wing, KPLU News.